You and I can tell by the looks of they're super excited to be in here. Samson, did you wish your mum happy Mother's Day? Come and tell me what mum means to you. Come on, get some great opportunity for brownie points, mate. Milk this for all it's worth.
Well, to me, mum means someone that's always there for you, someone that's looked after you for all of your life, and someone that will never stop loving you.
Wow, awesome. See, that's some brownie points now. Anybody else? Just put your hands up. Anybody else? Just lift your hands up, it's all right. Did you put your hand up? Oh, Mother's Day, it's great, isn't it? Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers. Amen. Hebrews. I want to just spend a wee bit of time in this passage. And Hebrews is an interesting book. If you look at the overview of Hebrews, it really, in a nutshell, kind of basically encourages the church. At the time, they were facing a lot of persecution, a lot of stuff against them, and so some of them were starting to wonder, man, maybe we should, you know, this new thing we've got maybe is not as good as the old thing that we had. This new covenant that has been given to us, maybe the old covenant is slightly better. And so the writer of Hebrews basically makes a lot of comparisons against the old way that they used to live versus the new. He puts some arguments for, hey, look, this is the new, that was the old. The new is so much better. The new is so much better. Hands up when you, sometimes when you're going through some stuff, when you're going through some circumstances, when you're going through some situations, sometimes you may think, man, it was a lot easier to deal with stuff when I wasn't a Christian. You could just punch that person when I was a non-Christian. I can't do that anymore. I've got to love the person. And not that anyone would do this. I'm talking about the church down the road. But the new is so much better than the old. In fact, I found this. I did not create this. This is something I found online. But this is really the what was happening in Hebrews. He was comparing the old covenant to the new covenant. So in the whole area of as a mediator, in the old covenant it was Moses, in the new covenant we have Jesus as our mediator. In the old, under the category of sacrifices, in the old covenant it was animal sacrifices. The new covenant was Jesus once and for all. What happened there? Don't know what happened there. Something bumped, but that's all right. Jesus once and for all. In regards to covenant, it was very much law-based. But under the new covenant, it is very much grace-based. Amen? In the whole area of access to God, in the old covenant, it was through priests. But now we have this direct access through Christ. In regards to the priesthood, it was all Levitical priests in the old covenant. In the new, it's Jesus. It's our eternal high priest. In regards to effectiveness, in the Old Testament, it was very much temporary and symbolic, whereas the new covenant is complete and transformative. In regards of duration, it's old covenant repeated continually in the new covenant once and for all, eternal. And so the writer of Hebrews was saying, hey, look, I know things are hard. I know that you are facing persecution. I know that the situation, your circumstances aren't ideal, but still, even under all that, the new covenant is way better than what you had, so keep looking into the new. Keep hold of the new. And in Hebrews 10, verse 19, the writer encourages them with a call to persevere. And in verse 19, it says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place, a place where in the old covenant you weren't allowed to go. Through the cross, through the blood of Jesus, we have access to. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water." One of our focuses for the year is community. I truly believe and understand that forming community within the Christian church is something that God could breathe on. Something that could really change a city is the fact of a community that we have within church. And so that's why do we have a Church at Facebook community page? So you can do community together, so that you can do life together. Why do we do so many things together? Because that's what community is all about. And that is our heart as a church. And I've been pondering, because as a leader, you do focus heavily on Sunday services. And so I know that when I grew up in the church, and I have been in the church a long, long time, it's not a secret that I turned 45 this year, and I turned 50 this year. Actually, we need to pray for Darren, actually. Darren is in grief. He found out this week that his Jeep was written off. So we lost two vehicles on that four-wheel driving trip. I don't believe it's linked to the fact that they were Jeeps. So we do need to pray for him. He is grieving, and he's still going to find another one. I stayed away from my wife. Sort of encouraged me not to buy four-wheel drives again. So I haven't. I bought a car, so it's okay. I can't do off-roading anymore. So she's happy about that. What she doesn't know is now I can do burnouts and skids and drifting. So it's all good. I'm still happy. Not that I would do that, of course. But community is important. That's why we have this community Facebook page. And I believe that the heart of God is for community. We read in Acts 2 that they formed community. They formed community around Jesus. They formed community around the cross, and they met in the home, and they met in the temple, and they amazing community that they formed, that Jesus, that God added to that community on a daily basis. And so as a leader, we tend to focus on our Sunday meetings. We tend to focus on meetings. Why is the church not full? Why is the church not full? Why is that we can have a database of 200 and 250, but where is everyone on a Sunday? But I know this, that our culture has changed. Things have shifted. I know that growing up, for me, church was the place to be. You wouldn't miss it. You had to go. You just did it. It was great. And people, but things have changed. And so we've got to kind of, as leaders, get away from that and looking at our Sunday services, looking at the things that why aren't there people coming to services anymore? And as I looked at this, I was like, wow. And I was writing a message, and I was titling it 10 Reasons Why Christians Need to Go to Church. 10 Reasons Why Christians Need to Attend a Church Service. And I was in here, And in verse 23, which in Hebrews 10, it reads this, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And in verse 25, we read, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. And I was like, great, I've found the number one reason why we need to come to church services. And it's actually the only reason we need, because the Bible tells us we have to. So you've all passed today. The ones who are currently listening to this online or by during the week who aren't here, but in the ESV version, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. In the NLT, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. You see, a lot of people use this verse and it's attached to you have to come to church on Sunday. But I want to say to you this, that this verse is so much worse than that. In fact, if as leaders that's all we focus on, then we're actually missing the point, because it's worse than just Sunday service. It's saying don't neglect meeting together. Don't neglect catching up with one another. Don't neglect going to the home groups. And the times they met in the temple and they met in homes, they did everything together. And they're saying, don't neglect meeting together. There's a reason why I want you meeting together. Because it's in that place that you encourage one another. It's in that place that you grow with one another. It's in that place that you do community together. When you meet together, when you do life alone, you do it in isolation, and there's no strength in isolation. There's no power in isolation. And I think the church needs to come back to the fundamental belief that our faith is meant to be done together. Our faith is meant to be done in relationship with him and with relationship to one another. It's not just about, yes, you need to be in church on a regular basis on Sunday, but it's not just that. It's why aren't you going to life groups? Why aren't you going to that? Why aren't you connecting with one each other during the week? Why aren't you encouraging one another? Why aren't you doing life together? So that when one is weak, the five strong can carry you. When one is struggling, three of you can encourage that person through that tough time. When someone is going through a hard time, when someone is going through grief, they have a house group, a life group there to support them and nurture them through. When we come to our corporate Sunday services, we're part of the bigger picture and we encourage one another. If I was to ask us some questions without raising your hands, if I was asked two questions like, when was the last time you rung or text someone to encourage them during their week? What would you do? What would you say? If I asked you the question, when was the last time you rung someone and said, hey, I missed you on Sunday. Are you all right? Can I pray for you? Is there something you're going with? When was the last time you did that? When was the last time that you met in a group and just fellowshiped together and did life together and prayed for one another and encouraged someone in a time of need. I was talking to a friend last year, and he went to a church. He'd been going to the church for a long, long time, over 5, 6, 7 years. And he had gone through an operation, so he wasn't able to get to church. So he's out of action for about 3 months, couldn't go to church at all. He said to me, "Do you know how many people rung me and asked how I was?" Zero. No one. 6 months went past. One person. And he began to ponder this, and he began to research this, and he came to the conclusion that actually one of the reasons many people leave church is because they miss one Sunday. They miss two Sundays. They miss three Sundays. Four, no one follows up. Three months, not even a phone call. And do you know what the first question that they actually ask themselves is, well, did I actually mean anything anyway? Was I actually valued anyway? Do they really miss me? Let us hold tightly without wavering. The writer is encouraging the church. He's encouraging this group of Christians who are going through a tough time. He's saying, come on. Hold on to that hope that we affirm, that hope that we know through Jesus, what he did on the cross. And let us think of ways to motivate one another. When was the last time you thought of ways to motivate someone? When was the last time you got together and thought of ways to impact or reach out or... So let's think of ways to motivate one another so that the person who's struggling feels connected, feels part of the community, feels supported, feels loved. And encourage one another. How many of us made a phone call this week saying, "Hey, I'd love to see it. Come on, come to church this week. Come on, you coming? You coming? Hey, what are you doing on Wednesday night? We got multiple life groups. Are you part of a life group? You should come to a life group." "Oh, I'm too busy." "I know. So are we. You got to come to a life group." "Yeah, but I got a lot on. I'm just tired." "Yes, I know. But in these groups, when you encourage, if you talk to anybody who attends a life group, I will guarantee you, probably at about 7 o'clock, the thought goes through their head, man, it'd be nice to stay at home tonight. Man, it'll be nice just to stay at home, got the fire going. But you go, and then you connect with others. You get encouraged by others. You're able to encourage someone. You're able to encourage others as they encourage you. And you do this community together. That no one does it alone. I know it sounds like I'm pumping life groups, but it's just another thing that we do that helps sow into community. It's a place where you can build relationship with one another. You can connect with someone on a Sunday, but you will not build relationship with them. You will connect with them, but it's in those places outside of Sunday you will build relationship. It's in those times where you go, man, I'm going to go for a walk. I'll just put on the Facebook page, if anybody wants to go for a walk, I'm meeting here at 10 o'clock, come and join me. All of a sudden, you've got 3 or 4 people that you may not know, that maybe they go to the Waikiki congregation, maybe they're part of something else, and they come, and you build relationship, and then you start talking, and you get the opportunity to encourage and motivate them. Maybe you're feeling down. You get ministered to. There's something powerful when we meet together and not just here. There's something powerful when the church comes together. Don't neglect meeting together, as some people do. And those some people that do normally fall back to the old covenant because they're isolated. It's isolating. The author is telling us that we need each other. And whenever we have the opportunity to be together, take it. That's what the author is saying. Whenever you have the opportunity to be together, take it. Love one another, encourage one another, motivate one another. Think, just rack your brain. Who can you make contact with this week? Who could you gather together this week? Who could you just send a message to this week saying, hey, I missed you at church. Pray everything's all right. I'm here if you need me. How many people this week, maybe on a Saturday, saying, hey, we're meeting together tomorrow. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? And as we build community, as we build this, I truly and honestly believe that God will begin to add to the community daily. Because there is a need in the community for community. There are too many people doing life alone. And the truth of the matter is, the church has the answer. I wonder, in a world where we are struggling with depression, struggling with mental health, struggling with anxiety, struggling with all these things, in a world where we're meant to be the most connected we've ever been in any generation, I wonder if the church stepped into that place of community. I wonder if the church stepped into the fullness of the church, the design of the church that God intended. I wonder, and I'm no doctor, but I wonder whether we would see a lot of that stuff decline. I wonder. And I wonder if, as a church, we would take hold of, don't neglect meeting together. Don't neglect doing life together on a Sunday, but during the week. Because I believe there is power when we come together. Amen. Father, I want to thank you for this church. I want to thank you for this community, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would place into the hearts of everyone who attends church at. I pray you would place your heartbeat within us, Lord God. Father, we wouldn't be a church that would neglect meeting together. Father, we would be a people that, even though life is busy, our priorities would be you, Lord God. Our priorities would be one another. Our priorities would be community together. In your name we pray. Amen.
Very good. Thank you, Pastor John. How about you give Pastor John a hand? That's a phenomenal word. I'm going to invite the music team to come back.